As convenient, Mr. Hollibrass. Send Mr. Barlow to Miss Doyle. She needs to learn where her trunk was stowed. Yes, sir. Miss Doyle, the captain said to me, please be so good as to follow Mr. Hollibrass. I've enjoyed our conversation and look forward to many more. Then and there, beneath the eyes of all the crew, he took up my hand, bowed over it, and touched his lips to my fingers. I fairly glowed with pride. Finally, I followed, perhaps floated is a better word, after Mr. Hollibrass. Barely concealing a look of disdain for the captain's farewell to me, he made his way across the quarter-deck and stood at the rail overlooking the ship's waist. There he studied the men while they continued to adjust the rigging, now and again barking a command to work one rope or another. "Mr. Barlow," he called out at last. "Here, sir," came a response from on high. Some 60 feet above, I saw the man. "Get you down," Mr. Hollibrass cried. Despite his decrepit appearance, Barlow was as dexterous as a monkey. He clambered across the foreyard upon which he had been perched, reached the mast, then the rigging, and on this narrow thread of rope he seemed to actually run until he dropped upon the deck with little or no sound. "Aye, aye, sir," he said, no more out of breath than I, or rather less than I, for to see him at such heights, moving at such speeds, had taken my breath away. "Mr. Barlow," Hollibrass said, "Miss Doyle needs her trunk. I understand you know where it is." "I put it in top steerage, sir." "Be so good as to lead her to it." "Yes, sir." Barlow had not yet looked my way. Now, with a shy nod and a touch to his forelock, he did so. I understood I was to follow. The normal entry to the cargo areas is through the hatchway located in the center of the ship's waist. Since that was lashed down for the voyage, Barlow led me another way, to a ladder beneath the mate's mess table, in steerage, just opposite my cabin door. After setting aside the candle he'd brought along, he scrambled under the mess table, then pulled open a winged hatch door that was built flush into the floor. Once he had his candle lit, I saw him twist about and drop part way down the hole. "If you please, miss," he beckoned. Distasteful though it was, I had little choice in the matter. I crawled on hands and knees, backed into the hole, and climbed down 12 rungs, a distance of about 8 or 9 feet. "Here, miss," Barlow said at my side, next to the ladder. "You don't want to go down to the hold." I looked beneath me and saw that the ladder continued into what appeared to be a black pit. "More cargo," he explained laconically. "Rats and roaches, too, and a foul bilge. That's where the brig is."
"Brig?"
"The ship's jail."
"A jail on a ship?"
"Captain Jaggery wouldn't sail without, miss."
I shuddered in disgust. Barlow held out one of his hard, gnarled hands. Reluctantly, I took it and did a little jump to the top cargo deck. Only then did I look about.